Welcome, everyone. We're very pleased today to have Xiaozhou Fang, who is a PhD student at the University of Ohio. His advisor is Brian Skinner, and he's been doing work in condensed matter, statistical physics, and quantum information. And today will tell us about measurement-induced phase transitions on dynamical quantum trees.
Okay, can I start the talk?
Yes, please go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, that's David. Okay. Hello, everyone. I'm Xiaozhou Fang from the Ohio State University, and I want to thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about my recent work about the measurement-induced phase transitions on dynamical quantum trees. Okay. This work is done by three people. It's by me, by my advisor, Professor Skinner, and our collaborator, Professor Nahum from ENS Paris. Our paper has been posted on archive, so for interested people, please read our paper for more details. And in this talk, I will talk about the measurement-induced transition. Unlike the usual kind of transition in condensed matter physics, such as this picture of the mean field ferromagnetic transition of magnetization, in the usual transition, we will care about like the thermal equilibrium state or the ground state of some quantum main body system. We will have some parameter to tune, which can be T, the temperature in this picture, or it can be some parameter in our Hamiltonian. And usually the phase transition can be characterized by the expectation value of some observables. On the other hand, people recently found a new kind of phase transition. In this case, we do not talk about the thermal equilibrium state or ground state. Instead, we talk about the dynamics of a quantum main body system. The more important thing is that we cannot characterize this kind of phase transition by the expectation value of some observables. We need to study the dynamics of quantum information. And people have done a lot of excellent work in this field. So for reviews, please read these two papers. If we consider this picture, for instance, we can consider some quantity relating to the entanglement, which can be the entanglement entropy, which I will explain later. And we can have some parameter P to tune, which can be the measurement reach. I will also explain it later. By considering tuning the parameter P, we see that the dynamics of the quantity S exhibit a phase transition from the volume of phase to an area of phase. Okay, so I will talk about this picture with more details later. So far, if you have questions, if you are confused, it's fine. Don't worry about that. Okay, now let me give you some review about some background knowledge. And one thing special about quantum mechanics compared to the classical physics is that we can have some entangled state. For instance, if we consider a two-spin system, we can write down an entangled state like this. It can never be rewritten as a product state by basis transformation. If you try to consider the entanglement between the two spins for this entangled state, you have a non-zero value. So this gave us some intuition about the entanglement. Naively, you can think that it is some information shared by not a subsystem alone, but the whole system together. If you add some measurements, for instance, you can try to add some measurement on the first spin, and you will get a product state after the measurement, and you will have different possibilities. From this, we see that by adding some measurements, it will turn an entangled state into a product state. We will use this property later. Okay, now we can talk about the measurement-induced phase transitions. Naively speaking, we can think it is a kind of phase transition characterized by the dynamics of quantum entanglement. Here, I will talk this well-studied example, the quantum circuit, which is a 1D QB chain. I will consider the initial state to be a product state, and I will add some random evolution on the initial state. So in this picture, if you look at this green block, it in fact represents a two-body unitary matrix. Okay, now suppose I separate the system by this red dashed line to A and B, and ask how does the entanglement between these two subsystems A and B evolve with time? To answer that question, we need to introduce the concept of entanglement entropy, which is defined in this way. Here, rho A is a partially traced density matrix by tracing out the part of system B from the density matrix of the whole system. And if we consider the dynamics of this entanglement entropy, we find that it will increase with time. Finally, it will become saturated, and this saturated value is proportional to the system set L. So we call this a volume law. Okay, now we can add some measurements into my model. Here I will use this green circle to represent some random measurements. This arrow will represent the measurement outcome. I will act this measurement randomly with a measurement rate p per spin. Here, I still separate the system to two parts A and B. I still ask the question, how does the entanglement between these two parts evolve with time? And this work is done in these three papers. Basically, people found that for the random measurement rate p small, in this case, you should expect that it should close to the case of zero measurement rate, and they indeed still find a volume law dynamics. On the other hand, when the measurement rate p is large enough, they find that the saturated value of this entanglement entropy is just an order one parameter independent of the system size. In this case, it is called an area law dynamics. And these two phases is separated by a critical point where the entropy exhibits algorithm behavior. So we see that by tuning the measurement rate, the growth of the entanglement exhibit different scaling laws, and we will call it measurement-induced phase transition. To get some intuition about why we should have this phase transition, we should recall some knowledge we have talked before. For unitary time evolution, for the unitary matrix acting on a boundary, it will increase the entanglement. And on the other hand, for a measurement, it will try to cancel the entanglement between the qubit and the rest of the system. So naively speaking, you can think that they try to compete with each other. You will have a phase, the unitary time evolution is dominant, but you will have a different phase that the measurement is dominant. In this case, you should see this phase transition by tuning the measurement rate. Okay, before I review some background knowledge about the measurement-induced transition, in fact, in this field, we have many challenges. The first big challenge is that it's in general very difficult to study the phase transition analytically. Well, in work about this field, people find that first quantity like the zeroth order read entropy, the phase transition can be analytically solved. But this is just a classical critical point. For all other order of read entropies, the actual critical point is smaller than that. So if you look at the phase diagram, you will have an entangled phase, but you will enter the disentangled phase even below the classical critical point. So far, we have no analytical understanding about the quantum critical point and the critical exponents near the critical point. The second big challenge is that it is very hard to simulate for a large system size. If you consider the hard random gates, for instance, usually you can just have roughly 20 qubits. In this sense, you cannot have very accurate result about the critical point and critical exponents. The third problem is that it is very hard to achieve in experiment. As I have said, to see the phase transition, you cannot use the expectation value of some observables. Instead, you need to get some information about the density matrix. You need to use some techniques such as the quantum tomography, which will require exponential number of detection for the same density matrix. An even worse problem is the post-selection problem. Remember, we have the measurement inside my model. So to get an identical copy of a specific density matrix, we need to ensure that the set of measurement outcome is the same. So this step already requires exponential number of realizations. This makes this problem even harder to achieve in experiment. But we have already have some results about this measurement-induced phase transition. We have some results about superconducting qubits, and we have some results about trapped ions. But in general, it is still very hard to achieve in experiment. And today, in my talk, I want to introduce some model which solves all these three challenges in some sense. Before talking about our model, I need to introduce one more important thing, which is the purification phase transition. Okay, if we go back to this phase diagram, if we start with a product state, we will have an entangled phase, and we will have a disentangled phase. Now, if I suppose I start with a maximum mean state, I find that there will be a phase that the initial mixed state is not purified from infinite system size. But even for finite system set, it is still require exponential large time order to make the system become purified. But there will be another field that the initial mixed state will become purified even for infinite system size. People find that the critical point separating these two phases is exactly that one we have seen in previous case. This work is done by Gowans and Hughes in 2020. So it gave us an equivalent way to study the merriment-induced fissionation. In some cases, it turns out that this purification process is easier to consider, and I will use this process to study our model. Okay, now we can talk about our model. Basically, we consider a quantum tree model. What is a quantum tree model? You can view it as acting some tree-like tensor network on some initial state. As I said, it will be a massively mixed state. And I will keep discarding part of the qubits for each discrete time. So you see that the remaining qubits worked on will form a tree-like structure. And I will be interested in the final state of this root qubit. Will it be a mixed state or will it be a pure state? And I need to mention that although I use the name leaves and root, but in fact, my time direction goes from the bottom to the top. So that don't get confused about my the use of these names. Then if we look at this phase diagram, we will find that there will be a phase that the initially maximum mixed state will not purified even for infinite system size. But there will be a different field that the initially mixed state will become purified by keeping increasing the system size. And here, we can tune some parameter which can be either Merriman rate or Merriman strength. There are some advantages about studying the quantum tree model. The first big advantage is that the critical point and critical exponent can be exactly solved by mapping to some statistical polynomial problems. The second big advantage is that the numerical calculation can be done very efficiently by a so-called pool method for even very large system size. I need to mention that the quantum tree model has already been considered in a previous work. However, in that case, they can only consider the first measurement, which I will explain later. So far, we have no valid solution for a tree model with real measurements, and I want to solve this problem in my talk. Okay, now let's talk about what is the first measurement. To understand that, let's first consider the real measurement. It is the usual measurement in physics. So the measurement outcome will be random. The probabilities for different measurement outcome will be based on the Born's rule. On the other hand, for the first measurement, the measurement outcome will be predetermined. You have no randomness about the measurement outcome. Okay, then you may ask, how can I get the first measurement? You can think about the following protocol. You run the system space only real measurements multiple times. Later, you discard the realization with the wrong measurement outcomes. Then you will get the result for the first measurement. Okay, now let's talk about our model. Basically, we propose a quantum tree model which has a well-defined time order, and it can have both the real measurements or first measurements. This is a cartoon about our tree model. Here, I will call it a collapse process, since I will also talk about the expansion process later. As I said, I will have a maximum mixed initial state, and I will keep discarding half of the qubit by projective measurements, which can be either real or forced. The details of my tree model will be concluded inside this node. In general, it can be viewed as a tensor. Inside this node, I can have some unitary matrices. I can have some weak measurements. Okay, I need to emphasize that here in my model, there is no randomness about the locations of measurements. This is different from the case of quantum circuit we have seen before. This plot shows the structure of our tree model. Here, the red block represents weak measurements. How to get a weak measurement? You can think that we do not directly measure the qubit. We first entangle the qubit with some ancillary qubit for a short time, and then we measure that ancillary qubit. This measurement will lead to some influence on the system qubit. This is called weak measurements. In general, the weak measurement can be written as the cross operator, and We will have some parameter theta, which goes from pi over 4 to pi over 2, and I will call it weak measurement strength. And the substring sigma represents the outcome of this weak measurement. I will allow some random basis. It is represented by this hard random unitary matrix U. In general, the cross operator will satisfy this normalization. After acting the weak measurements, the density matrix will transform in this way. When theta is pi over 4, there is no weak measurement at all. The k operator just behaves like identity. So our maximum mean state will always stay maximum mean. On the other hand, if theta is pi over 2, the weak measurements will become the projective measurements. So they will, the, our, my tree model will become purified at the very first step. For the
can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
So for tree model, how do you define the critical point? Like, how do you define, like, it should be like volume law versus area law in the
this is a very good question. In fact, we do not no longer have this volume model to area law language. We consider whether the state of the root qubit is a pure state or a mixed state by keeping mm-hmm. the system size. If it's
one more question is this red thing, not K, but this small bra thing.
I will talk about it soon. Thank you for asking that. Okay, for this blue block, it represents some hard random two-body unitary matrix. For this red bra, it represents projective measurements, which can be real or false. So you can see that, in fact, this node in my previous cartoon represented this orange block in my left picture. And we will be interested in the purity of this top qubit by increasing the system size. We found that by tuning this measurement, the weak measurement strength, the we will see a transition that the qubit will transition from a mixed state phase to a pure state phase. This result is shown in this picture. Here I consider the entropy of the root qubit. We find that the entropy will continue to decay to zero, giving us a non-purified phase and a purified phase. I need to emphasize that this entropy is not the entanglement entropy I mentioned before. It is just the Euler entropy obtained by the density matrix of this root qubit. And for FMPT, I represent the case with only real measurements in my whole tree. And for the FMPT, I represent the case of only false measurement in my whole tree. The critical points are labeled in the here. We see that for the real measurement case, it has smaller critical point compared to the false measurement case, which means that the real measurement case is easier to be purified. We will see this phenomenon later. Okay. Remember, I mentioned that I, in general, allow some hard random basis in my quantum tree model.
Can I ask one more question?
Okay, please.
So is this I don't know if this is analytical result or numerical result, but is it supposed to be?
This is numerical result. This is obtained from numerical result. But the critical point I obtained from analytical result.
I see. So for the analytical result, maybe you will explain it later, but is it at the infinitely long time or like semi-infinitely long time? Or
yeah, we will ask the system size, the total layer of a tree to go to infinity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this entropy is defined as the limit of an infinite system size.
Oh, so even if I repeat this process for infinitely many times, there is a remaining entropy.
Yes. Okay, since we have this random basis, in general, we do not need to keep track of the density matrix. We just need to keep track of the eigenvalues. Due to the normalization relation, we just need to keep the smaller eigenvalue, we will call it Z. It will have all the intriguing properties about my tree model. Z will, in general, goes from 0 to 1/2. When Z is 0, we will have a pure state. When Z is 1/2, we will have a mixed state, maximum mixed state. And to study the statistical behavior of the Z, we define a quantity called Z typical by taking average of log Z. The reason to consider log Z is because the probability distribution of the Z value is normally distributed on a log scale. If you consider the area of Z instead, you will, due to a long tail of the probability distribution, the average of Z is mostly controlled only by this tail. And our result is shown here. For the log-c typical, we will tune the memory strength from power 4 to power 2. When the color goes from purple to yellow, we will keep increasing the memory strength. We see that there will be a phase that the typical value will become saturated even for infinite system size. But there will be a different phase that the typical will keep decaying to zero by keeping increasing the system size. This is for the first memory case. We see that we have the similar behavior in the real memory case. And for the two red dash line, it enables the critical points. Okay, now I want to talk about how to solve this phase transition analytically. To achieve this goal, we need to consider the recursion relation of the tree model. If we consider a whole tree, we can view it as acting two subtrees on a single node. Since, as I said, we only need to keep track of the z values, so the z value of the whole tree can be understood as a function of the z value of the two subtrees, and the t tensor representing the details inside this node, and the s represents the measurement outcome inside this single node. We can write the density matrix of these two subtrees in diagonal form, and for the t-tensor, it can be obtained by the details about our tree model. Here, this sigma 1 represents the measurement outcome for this first weak measurement. Sigma 2 represents the measurement outcome for the second weak measurements. Sigma 2 prime represents the measurement outcome of the projected measurements. We find that this t-tensor can be generally written as a tensor product of the unitary matrix and a cross operator. Using this t-tensor, we can obtain the density matrix of this density matrix of this whole tree. And for a specific measurement outcome set, the probability can be also obtained by the t-tensor. Okay, although we have this recursion relation, it's in general very complicated. But we notice that in the pre-infinite phase, the z value will keep decaying to zero by increasing the system size, which means that it can be as small as possible. So we do not need to keep the full recursion relation. We can ignore higher order correction about the z value inside this recursion relation. One more thing about the first measurement is that I will predetermine the measurement outcome to all be up. This will simplify our calculation. We do not need to consider the probability term. In this sense, the recursion relation can be written in this form. I will ignore the higher order correction about z value, and I will only keep the leading orders. Using this linear rod recursion relation, we will be able to solve the critical point. To do that, we need to consider a generation function g defined in this way. This parameter x can be understood as a position, and this discrete number k can be understood as some discrete time. So you can view this g function as a moving wave to the left. The location of the wavefront will be our log z typical. We found that the recursion relation of this g function can be viewed as some discrete version of the feature KPP equation, which has been solved in previous work about the statistics of Palmer problems. We will use their results. One thing about feature KPP equation is that we have a family of solutions. Each member of the family solution, it is labeled by a parameter lambda. And for the physical one, we will consider the lambda which gives the minimal velocity. And at the critical point, we will have zero ballistic velocity from our typical. Using these two relations, we find that the critical point satisfies this equation, and it gives us this result. We see that it is consistent with our numerical calculation. For the real measurement case, the difference is that we can no longer ignore the probability for a different measurement outcome. So instead, we get a modified velocity. But we can still use these two relations to get the critical point. It turns out that our critical point for the real measurement case satisfies this equation. And we also obtain our critical point. Again, we see that it is consistent with our numerical calculation. Okay, so far we have talked.
Sorry, can you remind me what is lambda again?
Okay, lambda, so for a specific feature KPP equation, you have a family of solutions. But lambda will label different members inside this family solutions. And we will choose a specific lambda which gives us the minimal velocity. So the only lambda in the physical process is that gives partial v per lambda equals zero.
Okay,
before we talk about the analytical solution of the critical points, now I have to talk about the scaling behavior near the critical point. Due to my time limit, I want to apologize that I will not go to too much detail here. But basically, we find that the if we consider the velocity typical inside the non-purified phase, and they exhibit a behavior of a 1 over the square root of delta theta when delta theta is very small, and you find that it is consistent with our numerical result shown by the blue dots. And if we locate at the critical point, although we have zero ballistic velocity, we can still sub-ballistic behavior. It turns out that the typical will be proportional to k to the 1/3 when k is large enough. This is also checked by the numerical result. And we find that for the real membrane case, it exhibits a similar scaling behavior. We still have this 1 over square root delta theta behavior in the non-purified phase. We also have this sub-ballistic behavior in the at the critical point. So now let me summarize the false membrane case and real membrane case. First, they have different critical points. The real membrane case will have smaller critical points. Second, they have similar scaling behaviors. Okay. In fact, they also have some other small differences, but I will not talk about that detailed in my today's talk. Okay, so far we see that our model can be analytically solved. Now I want to mention that we can use our model to propose some experimental protocol which can avoid the post-selection problem. To understand our experimental protocol, we need to consider the expansion process. Here, this is a cartoon about our expansion process. I will start with only a single qubit. It will still be massively mixed. I will allow this qubit to keep interacting with other qubits in the environment. All these later getting involved qubits will be stay up. So you can think this expansion process as the inverse of the collapse process. You can solve it by considering the massive mixed state on the top and considering the corresponding collapse process as I said before. We will be interested in the final state of this large system. Will it be a mixed state or will it be a pure state? To talk about our expansion protocol, we need to introduce one more thing to the expansion process. Here, I will introduce one more ancillary qubit, and I will prepare a GC state between the system qubit and ancillary qubit. And later, I will construct the tree, which can be represented by this capital T tensor. If you want to get the density matrix of the system, you can just trace out the part about the reference qubit. You see that it is that you obtain by considering the maximum mixed state. The good thing about this protocol is that if we consider the final state of the system and ancillary together, we will have a pure state. Then the Schmidt decomposition tells us that we can obtain the purity of the system by only considering the density matrix of this reference qubit alone. This avoids the quantum topography of this large system. Okay, now let's talk about our protocol. The first step, I will prepare the GC state as I said before, and I will construct our expansion tree with random unitary matrices and measurements. After I know the record of the measurement outcome, I can classically calculate the density matrix of this ancillary qubit using this measurement outcome. This procedure will be similar to the case of a class process I have mentioned. And it is in general represented in this way. We will use vector n to label it. And the vector n is related to our z value. Then you can measure the ancillary qubit along the n direction. You will have either outcome plus or minus. And we will record this outcome. Okay, you can think that if we stay in the purified phase, you will have a pure state. So you should have very high accuracy about the prediction of the measurement outcome. But if you stay in the non-purified phase, you should have a mixed state. You should have a much lower accuracy about prediction. Then by checking the accuracy of predictions, we should be able to see this transition. So basically, we just...
Can I ask a question? So I actually got a little bit lost. So so this is just doing the inverse process, right?
Oh, you mean for the second step?
Oh, no. This whole setup, right? Yeah, it's expanding.
Yeah, we just consider, first of all, we have a single qubit in the system, and we have a single qubit to construct the state. Then we...
So YGHT state, you mean Bell pairs? Or...
Yeah. I know most people call it Bell state. Just my collaborator prefer it to be called JZ state. Sorry for that.
No worries. One more question is like, in the previous problem, we had the weak measurement, right?
Yes.
So here, we don't seem to have weak.
Okay, you can look at this picture. This shows the detail of my single node of my expansion tree.
Uh-huh.
So this is my input. For instance, it can be this one. I have a qubit as the input. Then I add the unit matrix on the input qubit in the environment. Then we add this weak measurement.
I see. Oh, okay.
Before I use the character K, sorry, I use the character W. Sorry for that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we can repeat the above procedure many, many times. We will have a large record of the tau value. Using that, we can calculate the experimental value of this area of Z. It should be consistent with the area value of Z in theory. So in this way, you will be able to see this transition. You can notice that here, I just construct a tree model and I do the measurement and then I construct a different tree model. I do not need to get any identical copy of a specific density matrix. In this sense, I avoid the post-selection problem. One more thing I need to mention that if the experiment is limited, we can only apply the measurement along the Z direction. It is still fine. We can get the average of Z value by a modified way. We can still see this situation, even we are only allowed to have the measurement along the Z direction. Okay, let me summarize my talk. First, I propose a tree model which exhibits the fit transition for both the force measurement and real measurement. Then I study the fit diagram. I derive a solution for the critical points and the critical exponent. At the end, I propose an experimental protocol to see this measurement induced transition without the post-reaction problem. As I said, our work has been posted on archive. So for interested audience, please read our paper for more details. Thank you.
Okay, let's thank Xiaozhou for an interesting talk. And at this point, we have about 7 minutes or so for questions on the presentation. Benny, please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm curious about this expanding tree.
Yes.
Expanding tree, if it's below the critical like threshold, we can still talk about entanglement on the tree system, right?
Sorry, Benny, can you repeat the
question? Yeah. So for expanding thing, and then suppose that it's below the threshold.
Yes.
Then on the left-hand side, we can look at it as a whole system, and then we can think about bipartite entanglement and so on. Is it volume law or sub volume?
Okay, this is a very good question. So for the expansion process, okay, if you stay in the non-purifying phase, you find that even you increase the system size to infinity, you still have a mistake. So the whole system,
That I understand, but I can still just measure the entanglement and what the entropy.
Oh, I think you will not get the volume language here. Since as I said, the purity of the large system can be expressed by the density matrix of this ascending qubit alone. So you should see a non-zero, if you consider entropy, you should see a non-zero value, but you will never see a volume law like the quantum circuit case.
I couldn't just understand the answer. So what is the answer? So if I pick some subsystem A, like less than half of the system,
yes.
If I compute the entropy, then will it be like volume law scaling or something below volume law?
Oh, okay. I see. I think the volume of an error to iron off face language is only valid if you have a start with a pure state. If you always stay with a pure state case, then that one is valid. Here we consider we in general have a mixed state. I think that language is not valid. I think since the purification process is equivalent to that language, so we consider the purification process. We want to know whether the final state of my system is a mixed state or a pure state.
And then also you said like most of these properties expanding or shrinking, it's scaling exponents are universal, I guess. So in a sense that does it depend on qubit or qubit or Clifford?
Okay, this is a very good question. Okay, so far based on our identical result, we see that these two scaling behaviors, they are protected by the hard random statistics. So far, our understanding is that to have different scaling behavior, we need to break the hard random statistics. So I think even you consider the QD system, but you should still see the same behavior.
So what is K and the K?
sorry?
On the right-hand side, what is... K is what
K,
is
it? Oh, K is the total layers of my tree model. Okay, so if I go to sorry, this is a little slow, sorry for that. Okay. For instance, like this picture, my K will be 3. It's the total layers of my tree structure. So you can think that the total number of qubits will be 2 to the k.
I see. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, yeah. Thanks, so I think I'll stop.
Thank you.
Tim, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure, thanks. I just want to clarify things for the numerical part. You are also dealing with hard random unitaries, or
yes, I'm doing with hard random unitaries.
So it's also efficiently simulable with hard random gates in this
yes.
case.
Yes. So the big advantage about the quantum tree model is that okay. So sorry, let me stop. Okay, so there is a method called the pool method, which allows you to have efficient simulation for even hard random gates. So your system size can be very, very large. Our K can go, the total layers can go to 1,000 or maybe 1,500. It's no problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So then could you go to the experimental protocol slide again?
Okay.
Yeah, maybe the next. Yeah, great. So I guess the fact that this tree model is classically simulable is related to point number 2, that you can classically calculate this density operator for the reference, right?
Sorry, can I repeat the question?
So I'm wondering if the fact that you can efficiently simulate your tree model, even with hard random gates, etc., I'm wondering if that's related to this point number 2. On this slide, that you're saying that you can classically calculate the reference qubit state.
You mean for each time we only consider 2 qubit?
No. Like point number 2, you say here that you can classically calculate.
Yes.
The density operator, right?
Yes. Oh yeah. Right. The reason I can calculate the density operator is also due to the tree structure.
Right.
Okay.
So. Yeah, so I'm wondering if, like, can you imagine a case where you cannot classically simulate this model, but you also get around the post-selection problem? Like here you're kind of getting around the post-selection because the whole model is classically simulable in the first place.
Yeah, right. Yeah, this is a very good point. Yes, thank you, team. Yes, you are definitely right that the reason we can get rid of the post-selection is that we are using this hidden trick that the problem has already been solvable. A classical computer.
Right, we
admit that this is some disadvantage of our model, but we still think that it is maybe a good check if we can, you know, run this protocol on some like IBM quantum computers, and we compare with our chaotic calculation to see this condition. We still think that this should be good evidence about the memory induced retention. But you're definitely right. The reason we can get rid of the post reaction problem is we can solve it efficiently on chaotic computers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And also, so I guess for the real measurement, the non-forced case,
yes.
There is no analog of this reverse protocol, right?
No, there's an analog of the reverse protocol.
Sorry, okay. I thought here you're inserting the spin up at all points.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Tim. This is also a very good point. Let me explain this with more details. Here, all this later get involved people that are assumed to be a state up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can have real measurement inside this node. So for this weak measurement, you can still have real measurement.
Okay, right. I see, okay.
Oh, one special thing I didn't mention is that then for this case, if you have real measurement inside the node, if you consider the corresponding class process, you are not getting as a pure real measurement tree. Instead, we call it a mixture tree. Due to my time limit, I do not have time to talk about that mixture tree. But based on some of my unpublished results I just obtained recently, the mixture tree can also be efficiently simulated. It is secretly equivalent to that of the pure real measurement case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, Alex.
Right, yeah, thanks for the talk. I guess I had two questions. So the first was, at some point you said there's a relationship between this measurement-induced phase transition as it's, I guess, originally meant in terms of area versus volume law entanglement, and you relate that to this picture of, not in the tree model, but in the original circuit model of the final state remaining mixed or becoming pure.
Yes.
And you cited someone there. So there, is that like an observed connection, or is that analytic?
It is shown by Gowans and Hughes in this PRS paper.
Okay, and it's just a true fact.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And then just a super naive question. So even a little bit earlier in your talk, you were talking about, sort of what we usually mean by phase transitions, and then this measurement-induced phase transition.
Yes.
And at some points, you were referring to the critical exponents for the measurement-induced phase transition.
Yes.
How are those defined in this context? Like, what do we mean by a critical exponent in this new kind of phase transition?
Okay. So for the this is a very good question. Thank you, Alex. So let's consider the case of the quantum circuit with our initial state will be a pure product state. So my state will always be a pure state. Okay. Then if you consider the entanglement entropy by separating it into two parts, and you will get some result at any time, you can keep increasing the system size. Inside this phase, you will see that, this entropy, any time entropy, is proportional to my system size. So it's proportional to L. But you will find that by tuning the parameter P at this at a specific point, this becomes zero. Okay, so if you consider S over L instead, and you ask S L to go to infinity, you will see a continuous line decaying to zero in the entangled phase. That point is the critical point.
Okay.
Okay, you can look at this picture, and this is the case of S over L. If I ask my L to go to infinity, it is continued decay to zero, and this exact point will be my critical point.
Okay, so it's some exponent controlling that decay.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay. And Subayan.
Thanks for the talk. So I just wanted to ask again the question that Tim asked about the numerical simulation of this hard random circuit. So are you So you mentioned there are some approximation schemes that you can set up to study this in a recursion relation. So are you simulating that recursion relation? Or is there any level of approximation going in the numerical simulation? Or what allows you to?
This is a very good question. In the numerical calculation, there's no approximation. We consider the full recursion relation. We just construct the tree and simulate. But one trick is that we do not directly simulate this exponential large tree. We use something called a pool method to simulate the tree. It makes this calculation efficient, but it's slightly different by directly constructing the tree. And just you see that it will be exponential to the k. So that one should be very hard. But the pool method allows us to do the simulation very efficiently. But there is no approximation in the recursion relation.
I see.
I only use the linear round recursion relation to get the result about our critical point.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so